Hey gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Go there, click on the donate button, send shekels, go to nationalbugle.com, download the co-certified app. There's all sorts of stuff co-certified's coming up with, including they have certified their first product as a certified non-kosher certified product, and it is Mighty White soap. You clean your skin with that, and you'll be mighty white. Today's Monday. This is the day Mark Collett joins the show. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is great to hear the new advancements with the co-certified app. That's good news to say the least, and I think it's quite good that we're starting to recommend products that are not kosher certified.
It's great. And we got, you know, speaking of non-kosher certified, this is pretty tangentially related to this, but Andrew Yang of the Yang Gang has made a bit of a splash by, he was asked whether what he thought of circumcision, would he ban circumcision, and he said he would support a ban on circumcision or something to that effect, and that actually is kind of part of the general Mark Collett theory of how we get out of our problems. It's just by, you know, not being mean, but just by making our society friendly to our own people and not bending over backwards to have halal butchery and circumcision and polygamy and all of these cultural cultural products of foreign cultures that have no place in our culture.
Well, exactly. And although I'm not part of the Yang Gang, I think it's one of the most cringy things I've heard, and I'm a little bit sort of dismayed.
What's cringy?
The whole Yang thing.
Oh, the Yang thing?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I've got to admit, I'm not a big fan. Not a fan at all, in fact. In fact, I'd go as far to say that I'm slightly dismayed by it.
Well,
slightly dismayed.
Well, let's talk about it. So I'm not Yang Gang, but especially with, you know, and I've been saying all along, President Trump is an asset. He's not a leader. He's not a leader. He's an asset. We're going to struggle over him. And right now, we don't have the upper hand in that struggle. I don't even know if we have any hand on that struggle. It might be completely out of hand. That's another issue. And then you look around and you've got people, and this person might be useful for this, this person might be useful for that. You know, there's nobody I can look at and say, okay, this is the leader that we've got to hitch our wagon to. But the one thing that, when I look at Yang, the universal, what is it? Universal basic income?
Basic income.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's...
the worst thing ever?
No, I don't think it's the worst thing ever. I think the devil's in the details.
It's pretty close.
I think it's the devil's in the details, but
the devil's in the whole thing, Patrick.
I haven't seen the details.
You don't have to see the details.
Well, it could be the worst thing ever, or it could just be a gimmick, and the devil's in the details there.
It can only be the worst thing ever. it is a disastrous and foolish idea, and those that are backing it are extremely naive, to say the least. Now, I don't know what.
Before you get on that, I'll address that after you address it. But beforehand, the thing about Yang that I think is got people's attention was him saying white people aren't having enough babies, and then I think they're just. I mean, this partly got started off by it's a fun way to talk about Yang is the $1,000. But sorry to interrupt. I'll let you proceed.
No, I mean, I was going to ask you if you'd seen the film Once Were Warriors.
Is that with Mel Gibson?
No.
Okay, that's a different... I guess
so it's a film about Maoris in New Zealand.
Okay.
It's a very interesting film. Now, a lot of people have sort of... It's one of my favourite films, in fact. You should definitely watch it. Everyone should watch it, because it's very important. Now, since its release, it has been very, very influential. But over time, the meaning of the film seems to have changed, or the interpretation of the meaning of the film has changed. You see, people now talk of it as a film that's about domestic violence and domestic abuse. And domestic violence and domestic abuse is a huge part of the film Once Were Warriors. But to me, there's far more of it. It's about the decline of a people. It's about how a group of people who were once proud warriors and were in charge of their own destiny ended up falling from grace, and how these people lost who they were and became drunks. They became, they beat their wives. They lost all purpose in life. And specifically, the young men in the group end up so desperate for strong male role models that rather than seeking them out in good places, they end up joining gangs. They join violent gangs to express their masculinity and who they are. Now, the very interesting thing is really what sets all of this up. And at the very beginning of the film, the father of the household comes home with what seems like a big treat for the family. He comes home with this bundle, a bundle wrapped up in newspaper, and he opens the bundle, and in it he's got loads of seafood. He's got this huge lobster and other seafood sort of delicacies, and he's handing them out to the family like they're treats. And he's like, look, here's the good news, here's the good news. And his wife and him start kissing, and she's like, oh, you're such a great husband. And it all looks like a very nice family scene. And he goes, oh, well, there is more news. And she says, what? What is there? And he said, I got laid off today. And she goes mad. She's like, look, we barely have enough money to keep the roof over our head. You know, you getting laid off is terrible. And he's like, shut up, woman. I go on welfare. It's only $17 a week less than working full-time anyway. And thus begins the decline. Thus begins the great decline. And he was never a great husband in the first place. But you then see what's happened to these people. These people now sit around at bars all day. They drink all day. They're listless. They have nothing to do because they exist on welfare. They don't work for their money. They don't have gainful purpose. There is no drive amongst them. And you see by the end of the film, there's a very powerful speech made by one of the main characters at the end of the film, and I won't spoil it for anyone. I suggest everyone goes and watches the film, Once Were Warriors. It's superb. I'd say one of my favourite films, one of the best films ever made. It's not a Hollywood production either. It was actually made in New Zealand. It was made, you know, with the direction of people in the Maori community, and they're not us, they're not Europeans, but it is a very important film, and I think the message isn't what feminists and leftists like to say it is today, which is all about domestic abuse. The message is about how a people who are proud individuals and have their own culture lost that, and part of them, or a large part of them, losing that culture was the way that they gave up on gainful activities and subsisted off free money. And they filled their time with pointless activities, which led to their further decline and eventual destruction. And that's very interesting because I believe that's what universal basic income would be. It would be a way for people to give up any form of self-improvement, any form of hard work, any form of direction, or any form of purpose. And it would be something that ultimately destroyed the people who went on to it, something that caused them to enter a downward spiral, something that meant they had no reason to get out of bed in the morning, something that meant they had no reason to put on their clothes and leave the house and, you know, style their hair and have a shave and go out and actually achieve something, because they could just sit in, the money would roll in, and they could watch TV and drink beer all day. And that is the decline of a people. And when you look around the UK, you look around at communities that were once proud communities, I see a huge parallel between those proud communities and between that film, the community I saw in that film. Because you go to places which were mining communities where the men were once tough, hardy men, family men, men that went down the pit, men that lowered themselves into that coal mine every day in a dangerous, harsh environment and came out covered from head to toe in black soot, only to get washed off, have a beer and go home to their families. And if you look at those communities now, which were once strong and proud and had a sense of direction, they are communities that are blighted by poverty, blighted by crime. The pubs, the community centres have closed down. Everything's gone. You see single parentage, you see alcoholism, you see people who never managed to retrain or go anywhere in life that just became people who lived off welfare. And the working class soon became people who were no longer working. They could no longer be described as working class because they didn't work. And these working class estates went from being places where everyone was proud to live, they went from being working class estates to being sink estates, places where people no longer wanted to live. And it's a very sad tale of what happened to our communities. And I saw a definite parallel between this telling of what happened to the Maoris to what happens to us or what has happened to us in these working class communities. And a large part of this is taking away a man's gainful purpose and replacing it with just a free stream of money. And what's more, when you give people a free stream of money, when you give people no reason to struggle, no reason to strive, nothing to aim for, those people no longer care about themselves, but they also no longer care about the nation. Once they are insured their $1,000 a month, they no longer want to strive for their nation to be economically strong and independent. They no longer want to strive to ensure that American or British jobs go to American or British workers. They no longer care about anything because they're all right. They're assured their universal basic income. And universal basic income is not a tool that will save us, but a tool that will enslave us. It is a tool that will be used to subjugate our people. And then any of our people who do decide that they don't like the government when they're on that universal basic income, well, the government can always take it away. And all of a sudden, you're a hostage to those who are actively trying to destroy you.
Mm-hmm. So, like I say, I think Yang is interesting. I'm glad he's going to be in the debates. It's not because of this. And as you recall, I think it was a week before last, No White Guilt and I both weighed in on the universal income proposal, both negatively. I think for you as a Brit, you actually probably can speak to this a little bit better. I'm not sure how things are now, but I remember going my first trip to London in the mid-1980s. I stayed at a, what was it called? It was a squat house. Was it in Houston or Houston? What's the name of that neighborhood of Houston? I don't know. There's a neighborhood in London. It's got a...
Hounslow?
It is very similar to Houston, Texas, the Houston there, but whatever.
I'm not sure. I can't put my finger on it
myself.
Yeah,
I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But at any rate, it was a squat house. So what's a squat house? It's a house that nobody's paying rent at, that people have, it would maybe otherwise be abandoned, but people are living there. They were, you know, rigging up things in order to steal electricity and to steal water. And this type of thing was tolerated. The women, I just flopped there for a couple of days until I got rid of my jet lag. But the women there were working in bars, and the men there were on the dole. And I didn't know what the dole was. We didn't have the dole here. But the dole apparently was, and you've talked about it. I guess if in Britain, if you lose your job, I guess if you're fired, you can go straight on the dole, and if you quit, you have to wait 6 months to go on the dole. But isn't it just kind of an open-ended, unemployment or welfare scheme? And so they were on the dole. They were all on the dole, and so your point that you're making it in the context of New Zealand Maoris, but certainly in the 80s, it was a thing in Britain as well. I don't know if it still is. And so I saw that. So there's certainly that there. Just talking economically, there's two issues. Whenever you have a program, it's how is it implemented, and how does the money go out, but also how does the money come in? And he's talked about, well, how to have a VAT tax. Now, if you're going to have $1,000 for every adult in the United States, $1,000 a month for every adult, and our population's well over 300 million now, so you figure you've got at least 200 million adults, and you just do the math, and that's going to be like $2.4 trillion a year. And I heard him talking, and he was talking about, implementing a European-style value-added tax, a VAT tax, which is basically a consumption tax, but you don't pay it at the register. You pay it; it gets paid, at the wholesale level and throughout the production and distribution process. And he says the Europeans, they raise a lot of money this way. And even if we had half the tax rate as them, it would bring in 800 million. Well, that only gets you one third of the way to 2.4 trillion. And of course, the Europeans have heavy taxation, but they have the VAT tax because they're taxing that instead of taxing other things. So that's how does it get paid for? And he's only gone a third of the way to say how it gets paid for. Of course, who pays for it? And you may wind up, like a lot of things, like Obamacare, for instance, winds up being a massive transfer of resources from the white middle and working class to largely low-income, often non-working, often non-white, typically non-white. It winds up being a net transfer from whites to blacks. So that's another aspect of it. Then in the implementation, does this replace welfare? Because some people will be saying, well, we're already paying, the people who don't want to work are already not working and getting money. And to an extent, that's true. Is that being replaced? Is it being added to it? How does it replace unemployment? Does it replace Social Security, of which, of course, Social Security is something that people actually paid into? It's not a welfare program. So there's all sorts of questions. That's why I say the devil's in the detail. I'm not a supporter. But the thing is, like I said, I think to a large extent, it has gimmick purposes. It's got him into the debate. Now, what he does once he's in the debate, we'll see. If he goes into the debate and he talks about, as a Chinese person, as an Asian, he might be at more liberty to talk about the plight of white people. And he has started to talk about the plight of white people. And I'm not saying that I want him to be elected president for that, but I want that to be in the debate. And I want Tulsi Gabbard, and by the way, Tulsi Gabbard, whether she's going to be in these first couple of debates or not, depends on whether she gets another 20,000 or so unique contributors. And you can go to her website, whatever it is, Tulsi2020.com or whatever it is, and you can send $5. And that it's if she gets 20,000 more people, she'll be in the debate. And I did that. I'll say that because not that I want her to be president necessarily. I would like her to be the Secretary of Defense. That job's open. But she has important things to say about war and peace. And right now we don't have a leader. Donald Trump still has some important things to say. It would be nice if he could be a leader. He's never really been one yet. He's been an asset. But yeah, we'll be coming up on the break in a few minutes. So I guess maybe, do you have any final thoughts on the Yang Gang?
Well, I think it's always good when a politician makes some noises supporting white people and saying that white people need to have children. But I've seen very many conflicting statements that he's made online on a variety of different things. I think that our people seem so desperate to hang their hat on any candidate that makes the slightest whimper that pleases us. And that's something that disturbs me.
Okay, well, let's talk a little more.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
And we are back. We're talking about Andrew Yang right now, and so here's a question. I know you've had some girlfriends in your past, and sometimes people break up, right? A few, right? And you break up, and maybe somebody broke up with you, or whatever. But you wanna make that other person feel like, you know, feel some jealousy. And is it that is Yang the sleazy chick that Andrew Anglin and them are hanging out with in order to make Donald Trump jealous? Is that what he is?
I think, I've got to say, I do think that people obviously had a very, very good run when Trump ran for president. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. And what I mean by we had a lot of fun is he said a lot of things we would say, and he served a lot of purposes. He completely delegitimized and attacked the mainstream media, which was something that we absolutely needed to do. And that was something that was very, very, very good for us. And not only did he do that, but he talked about a lot of things that we would talk about. He talked about building a wall. He talked about stopping immigration. And he had quite a complete package for us in terms of what he was talking about and what he was doing. And when I say what he was doing, I mean, the way he was delegitimizing the media, he was attacking people like Hillary Clinton in a way that we've never seen a Republican presidential candidate attack a Democratic candidate. We saw him talking about things like the deep state and exposing things that we've tried to warn the public about, but the public hasn't really ever listened. And because of all of that, I think we were pretty much in heaven with that candidate, and we got an awful lot out of it. Now, this is very important. We may not have got what we wanted out of it when he was in power. We may not have got the policy changes we wanted, but that's very different to getting him to change the political discourse. And he did change the political discourse. He did change the political discourse in a massive, massive way. And you and I think we both agree on that. I think,
absolutely,
you know, both of us agree on that. Now, I think because we had such a good run back in 2016, we had such a good run in 2016, and we also had Brexit as well, so it wasn't just a matter of us doing so well in terms of Trump getting elected. We also had Brexit. It was almost like we had this entire nationalist revolution taking place. And at the time, that was something absolutely massive for us. That was something that was, you know, pretty much unprecedented. And we enjoyed it. We really enjoyed it. And it was absolutely fantastic. And since then, Trump has done some good. He has still continued undermining the media. He has continued exposing the deep state. But he has seemed to go back on a lot of what he said about immigration. He has failed to build the wall. And he has drifted more and more to the center to try and appease his enemies. And the Trump boat looks like it's pretty much sailed now. And I think...
And
because
the way I'd say it, if I can interject for a second,
yeah,
that's
sure.
That's the Jew d'etat. Sure. That's the Jew d'etat. It's a Jewish coup d'etat. And it's... It, for time being, looks like it succeeded.
Exactly. And I think he's also become an absolute slave of Israel. He's also believed that, like, the kinder he is to Israel, I think he thinks he's going to do better and better and better, and they'll leave him alone, and they'll stop saying all the mean things about him, but they don't. Doesn't matter how many times he sucks up to the state of Israel, they still want him impeached. And there, at the moment, Trump derangement syndrome is at an all-time high. You know, the Mueller probe has been a huge nothing burger. No one is actually talking about it in terms of it harming Trump. They're now talking about it in terms of it helping him, of exonerating him, of dispelling this conspiracy theory about him. So he's done very well out of all of this, and he still
serves
the
damage
to a degree.
To me, I'd say the damage has been done by the Mueller report.
Not
the report.
People now,
after
having such a good run with Trump and Brexit, they seem so desperate to have another candidate, to have somebody else they can rally around. And I think that desperation is causing them to pick the wrong candidate. And whilst we can, you know, certainly commend Andrew Yang for saying certain things which we agree with, I don't think he's the next Trump or the next Brexit.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of getting behind a universal basic income, the very sort of welfare system that has been destroying Western communities, shows absolute naivety and foolishness from nationalists.
Well, you know, I don't think he's this is what I do think. I think that I know Richard Spencer. He was probably the first to talk about Yang. A lot changed as soon as Andrew Anglin started writing about him. I will say this: Andrew Anglin got Yang into the debates, and I think it's good to have him in the debates.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, well, we are back, and we've been having a discussion with Mark Collett, and there's so much going on in America, but there's so much going on in Britain, and who else are we going to hear about it from? So there had been this Friday deadline for Brexit, but surprise, surprise, that's not going to happen now. So what's going on?
Well, at the moment, what is going on? And again, I always say this on your show, and then it all sort of unfurls on the sort of Tuesday morning, because obviously it's a Friday afternoon here for me. And it seems that every time I say something, everything sort of unfurls on sort of the, as I say, on the Tuesday morning. So it seems like anyone watching this on repeat thinks I'm sort of potentially woefully misinformed. But at the moment, again, everything is in an absolute state of chaos, with rumours flying about that in fact Theresa May is going to give Parliament seven options to vote on, including scrapping Brexit entirely and a second referendum. But who knows what she's going to do? And when I say who knows, there are people who know, but they're not telling us. And that's because she has slapped non-disclosure agreements on everybody in the government. And when I say in the government, I'm talking about elected officials and governmental aides who have
When you say the government, are you including everybody in Parliament, or are you including just...
No. When I say the government, I mean
members of the cabinet.
I said members of the government.
Which in Britain, the government often refers to the cabinet, what we would call...
No. I'm saying members of the government and governmental aides who have seen these dealings, or have seen certain paperwork, have been hit with non-disclosure agreements. So it cannot get to the press or the public exactly what she is planning from here on in. And that, to me, says that what she's planning is not going to be good for us. Because if what she was planning was going to be good for us, often politicians leak things if they believe what is being planned is actually going to be something that the public would actually like. But in this case, I don't think the public is going to like anything that she is planning to do. These non-disclosure agreements kind of vindicate what I am saying. And we don't know. We just don't know. And I think the next thing we're going to see, the next big thing that we're going to see, is a number of different proposals will be put to Parliament. Parliament will continue fighting over this because the European Union have only given the British Parliament a very, very short extension, a very, very short extension. And I think it goes to April the 12th. So apparently we are meant to have everything sorted and we are meant to be telling the European Parliament what we intend to do by April the 12th. We were meant to be leaving on Friday the 29th, but now we are meant to be telling them what we want to do on April the 12th. So that's only 2 weeks more. And I can't see anything changing in 2 weeks. People already have hardened views on what they want from Brexit. Ministers have hardened views. The public has hardened views. There are two sides here. And I don't think any of that is going to change in any way in 2 weeks. It's just whether Theresa May's sort of deal or terms of capitulation, whatever you want to call it, satisfies enough members of Parliament to push through. And at this time, we could see one of several things. Effectively, Brexit could be scrapped. And when I scrapped, I mean scrapped or altogether, Article 50 redrawn, a second referendum, any of that could happen. And that is reasonably likely. The second thing that is likely is that we go out with a deal. Now, if we go out with a deal, that deal will be terrible. And that deal will not be something that is beneficial to Britain or the British people. That will be something that is beneficial to the EU, and it will be done to appease enough Remainers to get them to vote for whatever Theresa May puts on the table so that we can leave with a deal. Or finally, we could leave with no deal. And I know that Parliament has said that we're ruling out no deal, but it is actually in the EU's hands. Every single time we want an extension to the Brexit process, we have to go to the EU. We have to go to the EU and say, please, can we have an extension? Please, please, can we have an extension? And when Theresa May went to the EU, it was speculated that an extension would be granted of, people said, potentially, up to 2 years. Yet the EU only granted an extension of mere weeks, 2 weeks, in fact, which isn't very long. So we could end up having no deal, Theresa May going back to the European Parliament and saying, can we have another extension, please? We've messed up again. Please, can we have another one? And then just turning around and saying, no, you've had your chance, you're going. Now, I don't really think that's going to happen because the EU wants us to stay. So I think the most likely thing that happens is that Brexit is completely delayed or put off or goes to a second vote, or that we have some really, really poor deal that plays into the EU's hands. I think that's the most likely thing. The least likely thing is that we go out, that we crash out with no deal, because I think everything will be done by the EU and by the traitorous politicians in Westminster to prevent that. Now, there is a fourth alternative, which I haven't spoken about, and that's us going out with a great deal that benefits us. And I think there's more chance of you finding hen's teeth than there is of us leaving with a deal that actually benefits our people.
It's unlikely, but if there was a no-deal Brexit, how would that be?
Well, a no-deal Brexit would leave us with destiny in our own hands. We could broker our own trade deals with the World Trade Organization. We could broker our own trade deals with China, with America, and Britain could legitimately emerge from this as an independent economic powerhouse. You see, Britain was never part of the Economic Monetary Union. We weren't part of the Eurozone. Mm-hmm. We still have the pound sterling. And because of that, we have a unique power. We could break away. We can set our own interest rates. We control our own currency. And because of that, there is nothing to stop us actually going forward as a sovereign nation and making the deals we want to make. And if we want to make deals with the EU, we have far more to offer them than they have to offer us. For example, our fishing grounds, our fishing rights, our territorial waters are currently fished by at least two EU nations, most notably the Spanish and the French. Mm-hmm. Now, instantly, if we take control of our own fishing waters, the EU will be looking at Spain, mainly, being in this absolutely incredible position where their fishing economy, where their fisheries need to come cap in hand to the British. Mm-hmm. And we can say, well, actually, you know, you guys can or cannot fish our waters.
Famously, when was that? 25, 30 years ago, the Cod War between Iceland and Great Britain. Nobody died, but there was a lot of
the Cod War.
Heavy-duty gunship diplomacy. Okay, here's a question. So what about Theresa May? Does she survive all of this? And then I have another question after
that.
Well,
she survives because she's passed two votes of no confidence. So she does survive. She survives this. But the question is, does she survive this?
But she could resign.
No. The question isn't whether she survives, Patrick. The question should actually be, does she survive this in an operational state? Mm. And what I mean by that, a tank can survive a tank battle. But does it survive it in a way where it is able to drive off and continue the battle the next day? Or does it survive it and it limps off or ends up being towed away and gets put on the back of some huge cargo train to be refitted back at
the way Trump has survived the Mueller probe?
Do you think Trump has rumbled on to fight another day, or do you think he's on the back of a train being refitted?
I think he's being circumcised right now.
Well, I believe that Theresa May will survive this in the terms that she will live on. She's passed two votes of no confidence. In a way, she's done the unthinkable in that sense. But at the same time, she has also got herself into a position where, unfortunately for her, I don't think there's enough people in her party who would support her as an operational figure, as an operational leader. And what I mean by that is, my mum always used to say to me, she used to say, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time. And Theresa May went out there and tried to please all of the people all of the time. She tried to please the two halves of her party, those who were ardent Europhiles and those who were ardent Eurosceptics. And by trying to please them both, she has absolutely irritated both. And irritation is the sort of the best thing I can say without using without using harsher language. She's really, really got on the wrong side of both camps. And because of this, does she actually have a future? Would the Remainers in Parliament want her as Prime Minister and leader of the Conservatives? I would wager no. And would the Eurosceptics want her as leader of the Conservatives and Prime Minister? And I would categorically say the answer to that is no. So, yes, she will limp on, but she limps on in a completely, well, not completely, but in a largely non-operational fashion. And I think her tenure as Prime Minister will go forward or be remembered as we go forward as a complete embarrassment, as a complete failure, and as something that will be remembered as a time of great turbulence, political unrest, political demonstrations. It certainly won't be smiled upon.
So here's the next question, and maybe the more important question. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the Brexit vote was, to a large extent, a proxy vote on immigration. And the Brexit vote was a anti-immigration vote. What is going to happen with immigration? Is there going to be any impact on immigration when the way this all plays out?
Of course not. Of course not. The fact is, these politicians are just stooges of the internationalist clique. They are just puppets dangled on a string. And the end game of all of this is obviously the dissolution of our individual and sovereign nation states. That's what the EU is there for. But the dissolution of our nation states is not an end in itself, it is a means to an end, and that end is white genocide. And there is absolutely no way that the UK is going to get a grip of mass migration ever whilst these people are in power. Never.
And okay, did the Brexit vote play, make any progress towards exposing these people and getting them out of power?
No, of course not. Of course not. The problem with all of this, and this is a problem that I keep shrieking as loud as I can about, it's almost like I'm shouting at a brick wall because people aren't listening, but if we continue to put our faith in the people that want us destroyed, put our faith in those people, put our faith in them to safeguard us and do the right thing by us, we will never see any progress. If the sheep puts the lamb's life in the hands of the owner of the slaughterhouse, he is guaranteed to doom his offspring. And if we keep expecting these politicians to do the right thing by us, we will always lose. Think of it like this. The country voted overwhelmingly for Brexit. 17.4 million people voted to leave the EU. Yet the majority in Parliament is blocking Britain leaving the EU. That tells you everything you need to know. These are not elected representatives of the people. These are puppets of the internationalists and puppets who are dancing to a tune which is basically our death march.
Is it Hava Nagila?
It might as well be.
Yeah, and on our Monday shows, I haven't been using Hava Nagila for bumper music. That's usually on our Tuesday or Wednesday shows. But yes, indeed. So the coup d'etat has succeeded in Washington and maybe in London too. So what's the way forward for your people?
The way forward for our people is quite simply to take the power back. Our people must stop looking to these politicians for salvation.
Okay. All right. We have another minute or so before the break. So when is the elections for in Britain aren't scheduled for another 3.5 years or something, right? About 4 years, 3.5 years, whatever. What's going on in the Labour Party with Corbyn, are these parties breaking up? Is there going to be a political realignment in Britain?
Well, it seems that people are breaking away from the Labour Party and the Conservative Party.
And are people breaking away from Labour because he's all anti-Semitic and stuff?
Not really. These people want to form a new pro-Israel centrist movement, which is globalist, centric. They call it centrist, but really by centrist they mean absolutely vanilla, pro-immigration, open borders, multiculturalist, globalist, pro-EU, absolutely down the middle, but also pro-Israel. You see, these people, he's not anti-Semitic. Corbyn is just a, how can you call it, an Israel skeptic. Mm. Corbyn is a man who ultimately wants to extend multiculturalism the world over.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be right back after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake?
We are back, and so I saw that there is a big conference in Sweden, and I saw your picture on the flyer for it. So you're there, some other people. I guess our guest for the Wednesday show, Greg Johnson, he's speaking there. Jared Taylor, millennial woes. So yep. what's going on there?
Well, it's the Skansa Forum, which is a nationalist forum that covers the whole of Scandinavia. It's taking place in Stockholm this Saturday coming. I've got my flight all booked. I'm looking forward to this very much. It's my first time in Sweden. And we are discussing the topic of anarcho-tyranny and how Western leaders use anarcho, how they create a system of anarchy or a situation of anarchy in our nations, which then gives them the impetus or the perceived right to crack down on that anarchy. But the laws that they bring about, the laws they impose, never actually deal with the problem.
So
but
what,
instead,
what is included in this anarcho-terrorism? I mean, obviously, you're including like Antifa. What about the shootings? What about these other things?
Well, no, what I'm saying is the anarcho-tyranny is basically a state of manufactured anarchy, mm-hmm. which governments bring about through mass immigration and okay. multiculturalism. And when things such as terrorist attacks occur, child grooming, rape gangs, knife crime, violence on the street, the government then says, well, look, to protect the people, we need to enact new laws. But those laws are never used to prevent these activities taking place, but are in fact used to restrict freedom of speech, to clamp down on any genuine pushback against the systems that are bringing about the anarchy. And it's almost like the multiculturalism that constitutes the anarchy is then used to justify the tyranny that prevents a real solution to the anarchy ever coming about.
I haven't heard things talked about that way, but that's a good way of putting it. So you've got anarchy being imposed, and then the very people who are imposing the anarchy are then following it up with draconian laws, allegedly to deal with supposedly to deal with the anarchic situation, but really aimed at the population that the anarchy was targeted at in the first place. Is that a good
summation? Well, exactly. For example, I'll give you a very quick example. You'll have terrorists blow something up in London, so the government will say, we need to pass new laws to monitor what's privately said in online chat groups. But then everyone who gets arrested from privately talking in online chat groups are actually people saying, we're sick of this mass immigration because it's bringing about terrorism. Not one terrorist is prosecuted, but plenty of people are for actually talking about the people who brought about the terrorism. And this is exactly what anarcho-tyranny is. It's almost like bringing order out of chaos, but the order that's being brought out of the chaos is not a good or just order, but actually a rotten one used to prevent a decent order ever arising from the chaos.
Okay, so you've got Elizabeth Warren, who is all for the open borders, but when she says that she becomes president, she's going to use her Justice Department to crack down on white nationalists who are simply reacting to the massive immigration and the problems that it brings.
Yes, that's exactly the case.
Okay, well, we are at the end of our show. I want to thank you for coming on again.
No, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And where do we find your show on Wednesday?
On YouTube. Google me, Mark Collett. Patrick will be there. No White Guilt will be there. And so will Greg Johnson. It's going to be fantastic. So thank you very much for having me. And I'll see you Monday next week.
Thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
To the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.